Governor Herbert says he's close to a decision about the Snake Valley Water Agreement. The Utah Foundation addresses the conflict between education and transportation, and the Department of Corrections gets a new executive director. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, March 29th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Governor Gary Herbert says he'll decide whether or not to sign the controversial water-sharing agreement with Nevada in the next couple of weeks. Nevada officials signed the document 3 years ago. It would allow the state to pump groundwater to Las Vegas by way of Snake Valley, which straddles the Utah-Nevada border. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
At the monthly KUED news conference today, says it's clear most people in Utah and even some in Nevada believe the pipeline is a mistake.
Our concern is, you know, we can't tell Nevada what to do. That's their decision. But we have skin in the game here in water in Snake Valley. And I can promise you all that my goal is very clear. One, we will not give up one molecule of water to Nevada that is Utah water.
Herbert says whether or not he signs the agreement, he will fight hard to protect Utah's water rights and the environment. But the question is whether the agreement helps or hinders Utah in achieving that goal. Herbert says while local governments and many residents do not want him to sign the agreement, attorneys say it's in the best interest of the state to have a say in the project if Nevada moves forward.
The agreement's designed to say if, in fact, you do that, then here's the agreement we have between the states in a way to monitor and have some triggers that would maybe help us stop them from pumping additional water and causing degradation to water rights and the environment.
The aquifers in Snake Valley are currently off limits to the Southern Nevada Water Authority, the agency that proposed the pipeline. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Governor Gary Herbert has less than a week to sign or veto bills the Utah legislature passed this session. Speaking at the monthly KUED news conference yesterday, Herbert said that at this point he's deliberating mostly common sense bills.
It might be interesting to you to know that of the 250 bills we've passed, I'd say probably 80% are generally consensus bills where the overwhelming majority, just a handful of dissenting votes that occur.
Following his veto of House Bill 76, widely known as the Constitutional Carry Bill, Herbert says there are only a handful of bills left of which cause him any concern. He wouldn't say which measures they were, only that they pertain to education and air quality. It's still unclear whether state lawmakers will challenge his veto of House Bill 76. House and Senate leaders say they'll wait until April 3rd, the last day the governor has, to sign or veto bills. But Herbert suggested the two-thirds majority lawmakers need to override his veto could be deteriorating.
We've had a number of legislators that have kind of indicated, you know, maybe we're a little hasty here, but we'll see what they do. They have that right and role to play. If they decide to have a session, we'll certainly be advocating why the veto should be upheld, and we'll have that robust discussion.
The governor has so far signed about 250 bills of the 520 that passed the state legislature this session. The Utah Foundation's annual meeting yesterday dealt with two services that Utahns need, education and transportation. During every legislative session, lawmakers struggle with how they can adequately fund both. Stephen Cruz is the president of the nonprofit Utah Foundation. He says both education and transportation should be the state's main fiscal concerns.
What we need is more cooperation. It shouldn't be that way. As concerned citizens and businesses and institutions, can we find a way to make both of these the state's top priority?
Guest panelist Senator Alan Osmond of South Jordan agrees. The Republican lawmaker says the outright aversion to add funding to education must end by increasing efficiency while adding funding.
The time has come for us to address both. Now, as a Republican legislator, the question for me always is, does the legislature have the political will to increase tax revenue for public education? Deathly silence in the audience. I don't know.
Osmond says it's not one or the other, and finding a new method of generating new money must be found. He suggested changing the property tax structure to add much-needed stability to the funding structure. The foundation organizes the Utah Priorities Project, along with the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah. Yesterday's panel included Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, Mike Allegra, the General Manager of Utah Transit Authority, Mark Bouchard of commercial real estate firm CBRE, and Natalie Gawker, Gawkner, the COO of the Salt Lake Chamber.
Governor Gary Herbert is appointing a new executive director of the Department of Corrections. Rollin E. Cook is a retired chief deputy from the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office and first began his career in law enforcement with that agency in 1989. In his announcement, the governor says Rollin is well prepared to take the Department of Corrections to the next level. In the second day of the preliminary hearing for Nathan Sloop, defense attorneys in Farmington admitted that Nathan and Stephanie Sloop did not take 4-year-old Ethan Stacy to an emergency room after he'd been badly burned. But they did take him, the defense attorneys said, in court to a chiropractor and asked him how to treat the child's third and fourth degree burns. Nathan and Stephanie Sloop are charged with aggravated murder and the death of Ethan Stacy. Nathan Sloop is also charged with intentionally inflicting serious physical injury on a child, obstructing justice, and abuse or desecration of a human body. A woman accused of hitting a bicyclist in Provo and sending him to his death in front of a train has pleaded guilty to reduced charges. The Daily Herald reports 49-year-old Maria Fregoso Avina pleaded guilty to negligent homicide Thursday. Charges of improper lookout and operating an unsafe vehicle were dropped. Police say the woman's SUV hit 69-year-old Douglas Crow on February 15th after Fregoso Avina's SUV hit Crow's bike. He fell into the train tracks. He died after being struck by a front-runner commuter train. Prosecutors say Fregoso Avina hadn't properly cleared the ice off her windshield and didn't see Crow. She pulled him over after the collision and stayed on the scene. Her lawyers say she'll be deported after she's released from the case. Sentencing is set for April 11th. A Utah sculptor has unveiled a prototype of a proposed Statue of Responsibility imagined as an emblem similar to the Statue of Liberty for the West Coast. The proposed 300-foot-tall statue features one hand reaching down and holding another. Artist Gary Lee Price has been working on the project for about a year at Utah Valley University in Orem and unveiled the prototype Thursday. The Salt Lake Tribune reports concentration camp survivor and author Viktor Frankl envisioned the statue 15 years ago as a twin for New York's Statue of Liberty to represent the idea that liberty and responsibility together preserve freedom. A Statue of Responsibility Foundation spokeswoman says the name of the California city that will host the statue will be announced this summer.
As the weather warms up, just in time, Dan Nalen and KUER's Bob Nelson go through a list of concerts in the
area. So great that it's Friday, and Dan Nalen, our entertainment contributor in studio, some good music coming to town, including Patterson Hood.
Yeah, Patterson Hood, I'm sure any regular listeners here on KUER have heard me rave about the drive-by truckers in the past, and it's been a couple years since they came through town. Patterson Hood is essentially the lead singer of that group, the main songwriter. His dad was one of the guys who started the Muscle Shoals Studios, for people who are unfamiliar. Legendary soul, blues, R&B place down in Alabama.
Yeah.
And so Patterson, with the drive-by truckers, he does a lot of music where he creates characters and sort of addresses this modern South with these characters. This new tour he's doing, it's a solo tour, supporting a solo album called Heat Lightning Rumbles in the Distance. And it sort of evolved out of a book he was writing when he was on the road with the truckers. And instead of kind of pursuing the full novel, he changed it into what he is calling sort of half-baked, fictionalized accounts from his own life.
So it's somewhat autobiographical.
Very autobiographical. So I have a feeling we're going to have, two nights. He's playing Friday and Saturday night at the Stateroom. He's a great storyteller between songs. Anybody who's seen the truckers knows this guy can just talk and talk, and it's hilarious and really moving and emotional. And also on Saturday, he's doing an in-store sort of meet-and-greet thing with fans, signing CDs and stuff at the heavy metal shop at 5 o'clock on Saturday. So there will be a whole lot of truckers fans hanging out.
Sure.
Kevin, the owner of the heavy metal shop, is a huge drive-by truckers fan. So big weekend for those guys.
Yeah, and what else?
Tonight, down at the Urban Lounge, is a hot, up-and-coming British rock band called the Joy Formidable. They're a three-piece band led by a female singer, really good up-and-coming rock band. The band Low, who actually used to live here years ago, they're in town Saturday down in Provo at Velour. And then Toots and the Maytals, one of the legendary reggae groups of all time. Free show up at the Canyon Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, part of the Canyon Springtime Concert Series. So really great stuff all over the place.
Yeah, I've seen them at Park Silly.
Toots is a guy who's opened for the Stones, not that long ago. And he's like almost 70 years old and still rocking. It's great stuff.
Amazing. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. Yeah, thank you.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, March 29th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.